Awesome, awesome, awesome. The word of God declares, says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. So be excited about being here this morning. Just let's give a little hand clap of praise. Oh, I'm always excited about another morning, another day, another opportunity just to come together and just to see a new face or just say just greet someone else. And you guys may have not known, the person that was actually up here guitaring, is that what it's called, guitaring, playing the guitar? He's actually my dentist. I swear, true story. He's in my mouth twice a year and in my pockets for the rest of the year. But he's honestly, he's my dentist. Yeah, so, but he's not really a nice guy. He's actually a pretty mean guy. He is. He's always hurting my feelings. All right, let's pray. You guys need Jesus right now. If I've ever heard a congregation ever need Jesus before, is this one right now, a 10:45 service. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you today thanking you once again for being who you are. Lord God, we know that you are in this place, God, so we submit to your spirit, God. Lord God, we pray that you would move in such a way that hearts would be changed, that you would be glorified, God, and that the devil would be horrified. Lord God, I pray that you would just change hearts, change minds, God. Allow your word to come in to fertile ground, that it would take root, and that we would go out and do what thus saith the Lord. Lord God, we just thank you for another day, another opportunity, God, just to be in your presence, God, together as a church, as a family. So, Lord God, I pray that you would at this time hide me behind your cross, that you allow your word to go forth and that I would not be seen, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you would be glorified and that you would be seen. Lord God, I've studied, but I need your strength. I've prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but only you can truly make me able. So silently now I wait for thee. Humbly I ask for thy will to see. Open mine eyes and illumine me, Spirit divine. Amen. 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 Well, welcome once again. Thank you guys so much. And before we get started, I wanted to say that our worship is getting, I love the fact that we're moving somewhere, guys. I hope you guys can feel that. And I've been here just a year and a half, and I've seen growth. I've seen growth. You guys are talking back more during services. You got, amen, brother. I got you. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing it all throughout service. You guys are starting to clap on beat. That is awesome. No, we're moving out. No more clapping on the words. We're actually on beat together as a church. I am so proud to tell people that I'm a pastor here. And well, I wasn't at first. I was like, no, I'm at the black church down the street. But I'm so proud to say I'm a part of Willowdale. I thank you guys so much for being in this place together. Let's jump right into the word. Well, with this, if you guys haven't, last Sunday we started our Advent season. And Advent, we started just to come back and to remember or to actually lean into the tradition of Advent. Now, where am I, all my former Catholic people? We're Catholic school, yes. Still traumatized, don't even want to raise your hand any longer. Yeah, couldn't, no. Yes, Sister Mary. No, Sister Mary. Well, in Catholic school, I knew we went through Advent, but I never knew what it really meant. I had no idea. But right now, we're celebrating as a church Advent, and that's actually our series that we're teaching on. Advent. Someone say Advent. You guys are so much better than the first congregation. Don't let anybody from the first congregation tell you that I told them that. But as we're celebrating Advent, actually that word Advent actually means coming. So as we're celebrating the season of Advent, we're actually celebrating the coming of Christ. The Jews were waiting for him back then. But now, see, the story's over, and now we know the ending. But as we celebrate that, we're remembering back, and we're celebrating up to the day that we actually celebrate the date of Christ's born. And for those, people would like to get into very, very theological conversations. And you guys do know that Christ was not born on December 25th. You guys know that. You guys, hopefully you guys know that and study that enough. That's just the date that we placed on the day that we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ. Just like Washington's birthday is not on the day that they celebrated on, because Washington was born before leap year. So when leap year began, day started. So the actual day is not the day. We're just celebrating that. So as a church, I want you to be informed that we're celebrating Christ's birth just on that day. That was not the day that he was born, but we were looking forward to his coming. Because why? Because as he came, he brought some things with him. But when he came, When he came to us, they told him, they said, listen, Christ is coming, and when he comes, speaking to Mary, I want you to be very specific, and I want you to name him, give him the name, Emmanuel. When he comes, it's very specific. It's almost like when I was born. I'm a junior. My dad is actually here. I'm almost positive that once I was found out that I was going to be a boy, my dad told my mother, or asked her, because she's right beside him, asked her, could he be a Lawrence Richard Redmond Jr.? And it meant something to him. So they told Mary, you're going to name this boy and name him Emmanuel. It actually means, there's a meaning behind that name, Emmanuel. It actually means God with us. So as we celebrate Advent, what we're remembering is that Christ came, God came in the flesh, he came to us, and when he came to us, now God is with us, he's dwelling among us, he put on flesh, and now he's experiencing the same things that we experienced. He had to learn how to walk as an infant. He just doesn't come out the womb walking, saying, Mom, I'm here, I can talk. He had to learn how to talk. He had to learn how to do certain things as a regular human. The only thing that he did not experience is his wife telling him to do duties on Sunday morning during an Eagles game. That's the only thing that Christ probably did not experience coming up. But everything else he's experienced with us. So we have a God who actually can relate to us because he came with us. He came in the flesh. But because he came with us, he also brought some things with us. Someone say with us. He brought some things to us, and those things are the four virtues of Advent. Those are the candles. So if you guys wonder, well, what's the candles for? Those are the four candles that we light. We see the first one's been lit already, and then we have a second one lit. The first one Johnny hit on last week was hope. And Johnny began that sermon series speaking about hope and how hope isn't just the fact that, I hope the Giants make the playoffs. I'm not sure. It's not going to happen. But it's not that type of hope. What this type of hope actually means in Scripture actually means a complete assurance, a trust, certainty, faith mixed with eager awaiting. It's that Christmas Eve hope. I know we're parents now, so Christmas Eve means something totally different than it did when we were a kid. I mean, as a kid, you just partied like it was 1999. You just partied until you just fell out next to the Christmas tree and just woke up and there was gifts all around you. But there's something different now, but it's that same eager, like I knew Christmas was coming. It wasn't a doubt whether or not Christmas, the tree was up, the lights were up, you know. There were whispers around. My father didn't know, but I knew that they hid all the presents in the garage. So they would go to sleep. Me and my brother would say, oh, they got a bike now. Let's put the garage back down and lock it back up. But I knew Christmas was coming. And that's the same eagerness that hope actually means. It's not saying that I hope it comes as we actually has in our, as actually what we're thinking in our almost vocabulary, but it's actually saying that I know it's going to come. So Johnny began that with hope last week. But there's joy and there's peace. But this Sunday, we're going to deal with love. Everybody say love.
Love.
Love. You guys sound great. You guys, listen, we're going to get a choir up here. We're going to get to stomping pretty soon, another 10, 15, 20 years. It's progress. It's baby steps. I'm not expecting too much. But love. The second of the virtues that we're going to actually hit on. Now, you guys know that if a church comes to you and doesn't give you scripture, just walk out. Scripture should support everything that we're doing. So I'll pray that you guys, in our church, we say rest on your feet. It doesn't make any sense, but I'm asking you guys just to rest on your feet. Would you guys please stand up, please, as we read our scripture together this morning. As we focus on the second attribute of Advent, which is love. And for most people, if you tell them, give me the love chapter in scripture, most people will direct you to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's actually, for most people, it's just known that that's the love chapter. That's actually the verses that were read at my wedding. You know, if you think about marriage, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to read this for you, but I want you to listen to what Paul is saying to the church when dealing with love. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift, someone say gift. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, someone say all faith. You can have all faith, but this is what Paul says, so that I can remove, you have the faith to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And then he moves on and says, love suffers long and is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love does not parade itself. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. This is the word of the Lord. Now, before you take your seats, you know that's the made up Southern Chester County clean title, but you know we got to Philly-ize this, correct? We got to take this back to where I'm from. So I want you to find someone beside you. Look them, latch your eyes. I want you to ask them this question because I want this question to ring throughout your entire day, throughout your entire week. Look, find somebody. Let's look them in the eyes. You guys are going to help me tag my sermon for this morning. You ready? Just ask them this question. Say, got love? Got love? Oh, get a room. Have a seat, guys. Have a seat. That you guys look good. Got love? And that's a question I think that we have to ask, because as we see in that verse, in that chapter, that these people at the church of Corinth, they had all these things, but they didn't have love. I tell you, right, if you feel bad about your situation, you feel bad about your life today, read 1 Corinthians. Read the book of Corinthians, because these were people that actually were saved. They knew the Lord, but they still were acting a fool. They still acted up, but God didn't turn his back on them. He loved them. So in this book, we see the fact of all the things that were going on at this particular time. And then Paul ends it by saying that now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. That love is important. And it was important to them, and it needs to be important to us as a church. To get to where God wants us to be, it's going to take love. Because there's going to come something that I'm not going to agree with. There's going to be some things that you may not agree with. That you guys may be on the fence about something, but when love comes into place, it takes down all barriers. It moves things that would keep us separate as a people. It allows you to see someone differently than what your eyes may physically see. Love is that one determining factor that allows us to move into that new place. Someone say new place. Into that new place that we've never seen before, but we're willing to go because of love. I told first service, I never would have imagined myself a year and a half, 2 years ago, that I would be in Southern Chester County smelling mushrooms every day. Never would imagine that 2 years ago. I knew God was moving in my life. I knew God was going to take me somewhere, but I didn't know. But because I loved him, and because I knew that he loved me, I could trust him. And he loved me differently than anybody else loved me. And I share this with my wife, and I'm proud to say that my wife loves someone more than me. And that's God. And that's the way that I had to have that. I was very animate about my prayers. I had gone through some bad times. I experienced some bad things. And I committed myself to the Lord. I said, Lord, and I was very specific. Don't be afraid to be specific with your prayers, because God loves you. And I was very specific. I said, God, I need this. I need A, B, C, and D. I need her to be at least 5'6", caramel brown, beautiful. No, I wasn't that vain, but I did add that in there at the end. But I was very specific. But the first thing on my list was that, God, send me someone that loves you more than they love me. Because when you have someone like that, when you have someone with that type of love inside of them, everything's possible. But it's because of that word love that we're able to get there. It's because of that word love that we're able to move differently than we normally would. Because it takes love to change. I'm going to tell you, it takes love to change. I am loving on my brother-in-law right now, who is a Giants fan. I am loving on him. I am loving it. And I'm hoping that the Giants send us over Odell Beckham, because we need another wide receiver. I'm loving on him. But it takes love to kind of see things differently than you normally would. And love, the first question about love is like, what we hear about love, but what, someone say what is love? What is love? You know, What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. You, me, you, huh, me, huh, no. Huh. What is love? What is love? What is love? I mean, I can tell someone, love that woman. But what is love? Love is so important that hundreds and thousands of songs have been titled or dedicated to love. Last time I spoke on love, someone made it clear to me that I did a travesty to this word love, because I did not mention the minister of love, Barry White. Love. Where my 40 and under crowd, round about? 40 and under. Y'all could dream, put your hand down. I can guarantee you that Barry White has something to do with you being here today. Love. Can't get enough of your love, baby. Oh, wow. Barry White, love. Love in the church. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Love was so important. Love had its own boat. Who remembers the love boat making a trip? Love boat. It had its own boat dedicated to it. And that I watched as a little black boy. But I never went outside and tell my buddies outside that I was inside watching two things. The love boat, and I watched Lawrence Welk, just because he had the same name as me. A little black boy watching polka is not the most powerful and most popular thing as I was growing up. But I watched this love boat. Why? Because it gave you situations sometimes that people came onto the love boat, distanced, possibly about to split apart, but something about the love boat, something about the bartender mixing that drink and talking to them, that at the end of the day, love brought them back together. Someone say love. Love is an awesome thing. But we have to be careful, because sometimes we go by the wrong definition of love. The world's definition of love is this. The world defines love as being a deep or tender feeling or affection towards another person. An intense emotion attached or feeling for a person, place, or thing. A feeling of intense desire and attraction towards a person with whom one is disposed to make a couple or to become a pair. Love is romance, sexual passion, or sexual intercourse. That's what the world defines as being love. Now, if you are married, that sounds great. Feelings. You know, you guys want that feeling, that emotion. I remember that feeling. You remember, Tim, you were on the phone talking to Lori Beth. Oh, baby, I love you. Okay, yeah, listen, I got to get to work in the morning. Yeah, uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, the company needs me. I got to go drill another hole and fix another roof. Okay, well, I got to hang up now. I'll talk to you later. Okay, baby, let's go. Bye. Well, hang up. No, you hang up. We're going to hang up on three, okay? 1, 2, 3. Why did you hang up? I didn't hang up. You didn't hang up. That type of feeling. We love that in a relationship. You can't wait to talk to that person the next day. So feelings and emotions are attached to love, but they are not the totality when we're speaking about this type of love, this true love that God brought with him in the flesh. Many of us people, especially as believers, we feel as though love is an optional value. But I believe that love is that distinguishing mark that we should hold as the church. It's that thing that we do differently than everyone else. We shouldn't be waiting on the look to see how the world is going to take our current, the controversy that's going on right now, because we're going through some bad times. And I don't think that we should be waiting on the world to say, hey, listen, we're going to see what the world does, and then we're going to actually respond to that. I believe the world should be looking at the church and saying, how do you people who are different come together in unity? Because we're a strange people. It says peculiar people, but we come together. We have people in this office. We have a Steelers fan, we have a Giants fan, and we have that right there in itself, that's heaven. All of us coming together, loving one another. That's what the world should be looking at. The church is saying, how do you guys do it? How are you able to do it? Because I believe that it's our biblical responsibility to love someone that's different than you. Listen, if you're only loving someone that looks like you, thinks like you, acts and reacts like you, I call that easy love. It's like me. It's easy to love me. It's easy. I'm easy to love, Evan. Easy to love. Especially if you look like me, think like me, and act like me. But when our common interests aren't the same. When I don't see things the way that you see them, can you still love me? Can I still love you? Listen, I'd share this. We love history, I believe. I believe that we, when we look back, we look at things like, oh, that made sense. That made complete sense. Yes, I would have ran with that. It's just a passion of love. Is this the way it should have been? When Martin Luther King Jr. was in the midst of doing what he was doing for civil rights, there were numbers of churches that didn't line up with him. Didn't. There was a disconnect. But now it just makes sense. Oh, yeah, power to the people. Equality. We want everyone to have the same rights. We want women to be voting also. We want minority to be voting. But now it makes sense. But at that time, there was a disconnect. And I believe the biggest disconnect was the fact that love didn't allow us to cross those bridges that we had to cross. And that's a two-way street. But the thing about godly love, biblical love, is it doesn't make a difference how much you love me. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you with everything that I have. That's what biblical love looks like. And that's the true love that is God. In 1 John 4:7-8, everyone know what love is. Love's not that feeling. Love's not that emotion. But rather, it's an action. And guess what? Love's a choice. But more importantly, what it says, God is what? It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God doesn't do love. God is love. So when we love, we connect with God. And when we choose not to love, it says that we don't know God. So when you're struggling about whether these things make sense or whether or not I can lean into someone that's actually in need and loving on that person, just remember that when you love, you're close to God. You're actually exhibiting that one of those four virtues that we're celebrating during the season of Advent. But in the English language, we only have that one word, love. We only have it's like, I love, if you guys don't know, I love Jessica. I love my wife. I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? You guys don't know that song. I love my car. I love the Eagles. I love a good Philly cheesesteak with barbecue chips and a 2-liter Pepsi. But in that sentence, is love the same all across the board? Hopefully it's not, right? Hopefully I don't love cheesesteaks Yeah. Jessica and cheesesteak, they're right there, Lori Beth. They're right there fighting for my attention. If I got a cheesesteak in my hand and Jessica's asking me something, can I look at you while I take a bite? But that love, there's only one word for it. But in the Greek, there were numerous words for that actual word love, which enabled them to see exactly what level of love that we're talking about. First, there was that phileo love. Someone say phileo. Phileo love. That's that friendship love. That's where we get the what? Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground where I spent most of my days. Philly, where I'm from. The city of brotherly love. That's that friendship. Actually, that's the love that can be best seen between the relationship in Old Testament scripture between David and Jonathan. They loved each other like brothers. That's that phileo love that's exhibited through scripture. But there's another kind. It's called storge. Someone say storge. Storge. This actual word storge is not in scripture, but is a Greek word for love. It's a natural love or affection of a parent for a child. Now, even though this particular word isn't found in scripture, it's the compound of that word, phileo and storge, is actually combined in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, when it says love, that word love is that compound word. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's that love there's nothing like the love of a mom. I don't care what I do. I could have shot up 3 banks, robbed every liquor store coming up and down the East Coast. My mother was still be in the courtroom like, my baby he's innocent. I love him. Let my baby go. Because the love of a mother is something special, that family love. But that's still not the love that God brought with him in the flesh. Then the third love, someone say eros. Now, even though this word eros is not found in the New Testament, this word eros is found all throughout the Old Testament, especially in the Song of Solomon. Husbands, if you want your wife to love on you the right way, you read that book of Song of Solomon and you just do what he did. Oh, listen, she will bless you. She will actually be a blessing to your life, because women, you know, we want to be blessed, and the biggest blessing is wings and Mountain Dew. That is a godly blessing. In the scripture it says, then ye shall mount up on wings. That's mount up with Mountain Dew and wings. That is a blessing from the Lord. But to get that, you have to love them a little differently. That eros, that physical type of love. But it's that fourth type of love that God brings with them, and that God shows to us, and that because he shows it to us, we're actually held accountable to show it to other people. And that's an agape. Someone say agape. An agape love. That's that supernatural, unconditional love that God shows to us and pulls us towards him, even though we may be running away from him or not even thinking about him. That's the love that actually is a change by the Holy Spirit. And it takes the Holy Spirit to change you to be able to love like that. Because once again, if you guys don't know by now, I'm very transparent. And I was the type of person that if you hurt me, I remembered how you hurt me, when you hurt me, what time you hurt me, and what color shirt you were wearing when you hurt me. And I was thinking every way possible how I was going to get you back. That took nothing but the work of the Holy Spirit for me to change that, because that's not the way God wanted me to live. I shared this with the first service. When I was younger, it's a shame. So I must still be struggling with this. When I was coming up, there was only one thing. I remember one Christmas specifically that all I wanted was a Stu Thompson bike. That's all I wanted. It was a white bike. It had the hoppers on it. I was able to do tricks. Even though I was fat, I was doing my best willies and kind of doing what I could, because I was a big-boned young little lad, but I was very active. And that's all I wanted for Christmas. And I got it. I got the bike. Oh, goodness. And see, you guys are blessed right now. This is the first snow. I don't even think it's going to be snow on Christmas. I had to wait to ride my skateboard, my bikes until May, April. You guys can ride it now. So I had to wait a while before I get to ride my bike. And I know you guys are saying, listen, Pastor Larry, you're such in good shape. You know. But I used to run track. My father used to run track, so he made me run track, you know, so that wasn't an option in my household. So I was going to track practice, and I begged my parents. I said, please let me ride my bike to track practice. Please let me ride my bike. And my mother was very, very like, she said, I don't know, but she let me ride my bike to track practice. And I got to track practice, and someone stuck me up and took my bike. I was hurt. I stood on the bike. It was like four guys. One hit me in the side. One puts a knife in my back. The other one grabbed the bike. It took four of them to get me off, first of all, because I was so heavy, first of all. But I was hurting after that. Hurting. Like a year later, my buddies were going to go somewhere, and they were going to go steal a bike. Guess what I was up for? Stealing a bike. The Bible says, and that's not the Bible, it's just the way things are. It says, hurt people. And because I hadn't resolved in my heart to say that I'm still going to love on people, I'm not going to hurt someone because I've been hurt. That's human nature sometimes. But it takes that love to be able to change your heart, to see things differently, not to say, I'm going to hurt you because I'm hurt. That's that agape love that God shows to us. So we know what that love is. But the next question is like, why? Why should I love? Why? Why should I love as a believer? And that's the thing I think is going to help us change the world, or how we change other people. Because as we lean into these questions, as we actually take them in for ourselves, we become different. And I believe that we as a church, not just as Willowdale Chapel, but as the church, that it's our job to change things, to make people see different things. Because I believe in my heart that there's a lot of people that have been hurt by the church or by Christians or people that call themselves Christians and looked at them and said, I thought you were supposed to be a believer. How could you hurt me? I think it's time to turn that around, the people to say, listen, the first people they come to when they're hurt are believers, are Christians. There's something different about you. Something's going on in my life, and they feel almost compelled to come to you to share because of that love inside of you. I believe that the body of Christ needs to display the love of Christ so that people will want to know Christ. That's what I believe in my heart. Display it day in and day out. Are you displaying the love of Christ? Is Christ something that the way you're actually presenting Christ, are you presenting that love in a way that people are saying, what church do you want to? I got to get to your church. Where do you go? What men's group are you a part of? I want to come out and be a part of that men's group because of your love. But why should we love that way first? We should love that way because God loved us first, even after knowing us. Someone say, know us. He knew you. He knew what you looked like in the morning before you put your makeup, Chris. Before you put your makeup on, he knew you. He knows everything about you. Everything that you hide in your closet when the pastor comes over, he knows it. And guess what? He still loves you. It says in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the believers, right? It says, so God so loved Willowdale Chapel, right? For God so loved those who loved him. For God so loved the world. That's everybody. Someone say everybody. I hear still an R in there somewhere. I came over this way. Say everybody. He loves everybody. The world. He loves the world. God, and that actually intensified. So, he's so loved. That just adds a little oomph to it. He so loved the world. That's different saying, oh, I'm sorry, than saying, oh, listen, I am so sorry. It's a little different there. But he so loved the world. And he loved us that way. So because he loves us that way, why should we love? Because he loved us that way, even in knowing us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrated his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You were sinning, not even thinking about Jesus, and he still came for you. He still came for me. I was in the club. I know that verse service, they didn't admit to it, but I was in the club. Having a good time. Not thinking about Jesus. Oh, not thinking about God. Oh, let me get another drink. Oh, who I'm going to try to go home with? Not even thinking about God, but he loved me. He loved me and he loves you. He so loves you. So that's the first reason on why we should love, because God knew us and still loved us in spite of ourselves. Secondly, why should we love? Because we're commanded to love. In John 15:12, it says, this is my commandment. Whenever God says, this is my commandment, there is not an option. You got to do it. It's almost like husbands, when your wife says, you feel like taking the trash out? You better not say no. You better not say no. Any new husbands in here? If she asks you, that's a setup. That is a setup. Don't you say no to that. You say, baby, I was waiting for you to ask me to take the trash out. I've been here on the couches waiting for you. I was waiting for you to say, could you drive me to the mall instead of watching this game? You better answer that question right. Amen. Amen. Don't get yourself set up. But he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love is a commandment by God. That's not an option. I know we believe, though, you know, well, I got all these things, but, you know, it's an option whether or not I love my neighbor because, you know what, he voted for the Republican Party this year. Ooh. Or this person right here, oh, my goodness, he's a Democrat. Or they're an independent. Or he's grass. But guess what love says? Let's go out to lunch. Christ is first. Everything else falls after that. I love people. If you guys don't know, I love people. And it's because of my family over here. This is my mother, my dad, my aunts and uncles, my wife, and my friends. It's because of them that I hug. Because I love. And I believe that's connection. That's what I was brought up doing. So I love doing that because that's a part of me. I wasn't commanded to do it, but God does command us to do that. And sometimes the love that you show may be the only love that person may have felt that day. I remember I was the director of my previous church's day camp for 3 years. And I would hug every little kid that came in every day. Every little kid, boy, little girl, I would hug on them. To the point that my pastor actually, he spoke to all the parents. And they didn't have a problem with it. They knew my heart. But he said that Pastor Larry is going to do that because he loves your children. And some of them, and those, especially those little boys, for some reason, we don't love on little boys like we do little girls. Like my daughter, my oldest daughter knows how to get. She could push me down the steps and be like, "Daddy, can we go get ice cream?" "Yeah, we can go get ice cream. We can go get ice cream. Let me put my shoes on because I love you, bro. That's daddy, little girl. You didn't mean to push daddy down the steps, no." I love on her different, but little boys, for some reason, we don't do the same thing. They get hurt. "Oh, suck it up. Shut up. Don't cry. Be a man." But some of those little boys have never experienced a hug. A manly hug. I'm saying from a man too. Because it's different from a hug from a man than from a woman. Not saying that it's not needed, but something about men hugging men. I think men should be in complete fellowship together. There's just some things that we can only deal with as men. But it's that type of love that we kind of share, and I shared it with those little boys. And a few of those boys said, "I've never been hugged by a man before." And they would run in and hug Pastor Larry. That's the type of love that we need to be sharing here at Willowdale Chapel. And the love that I feel that we are sharing. Listen, I'm not here just because I need a paycheck. Let me tell you that right now. I'm here because I love you guys and I believe in Willowdale. I'm rooted at Willowdale. I'm here because Pastor Gray has a vision. I'm 110% behind him in that vision because I love the Lord, and I feel as though because I'm here, I'm following my pastor. I love that. I love that. Have I always agreed with every pastor that was over me? No. But I love them and I've lined up with them because God calls me to do so. That's love. Not only does he command it, but thirdly, we love because it shows others that we are followers of Christ. That we're followers of Christ. Let me ask you a question. What are people seeing by the way that you love? Are they seeing a great, awesome God that you're serving? Or are they seeing the love of God, that true agape love out of you? Or are they seeing someone that they would never, the last thing they would do is visit your church? I can't answer that question for you. I'm hoping that they're the latter. I'm hoping that they're seeing so much love out of you that they're saying, "Man, if you're loving that way, your community engagement pastor must be a handsome guy." I'm praying that's what they're saying out of you. But that you're loving so much that they're saying, "I need to be where you're at because I love the love that you're showing." So we see, we saw what was love, what is love. Secondly, we saw why we should love. But the last part is that, what does this love look like, or how does this love look? Well, in that first chapter of Corinthians, the 13th verse, throughout that entire verse, there are 13 attributes of what love looks like. It's patient, long-suffering, it's kind. It basically is happy over the success of others. Basically, that's saying that love is not a hater. Someone say hater. Love is not a hater. Love is humble, it's supportive, it's courteous. It gives you 13 things that shows you what love is, and love endures throughout it all. But how does that love look? Because even though this is our scripture, God's love began in Genesis, but actually began before Genesis. And it's never ending. It goes to and past Revelation. It's throughout the entire scripture. So how does that love look? First of all, that love looks like a forgiving love. Someone say forgiving. Forgiving. That love looks like Joseph in Genesis chapter 45. Joseph was lied to, thrown into a pit. His nice Sean John jacket was stripped off of him. And he now went into slavery. He endured all these things, but at the end of the day, because of God's love in him, he loved his brothers and forgave them for all that he did. Are you able to do that same thing today? Are you able to say to somebody, "Yes, I know you hurt me, but guess what? God has commanded me to love you, and I'm going to love you." Love, that type of love is forgiving. Secondly, that type of love is redeeming. Someone say redeeming. Redeeming. If you have not read the book of Hosea, read it. It's an awesome book. Hosea was sent to the children of Israel to declare the Lord. But in that calling, God tells him to go into the city. And listen, and young men, I'm not telling you to do this unless the Lord tells you to do this. But he said, go into the city and marry a prostitute. Marry a woman of the street. Take her into your home and love on her. So he did that. He loved on her. Then she left him to go back into the street and had more children. And then God said to Hosea, go back and you purchase her. You redeem her back.
And I'm showing this to you because I want the children of Israel to see that you have done this in the natural, but I want you to see what I can do in the spiritual. That I'm willing to redeem you back. I'm willing to buy you back because of the blood of my son, which they knew were coming. They knew that the Christ would be coming. But the fact of love is a redeeming thing. Love is willing to purchase you back, to bring you back in. Thirdly, love is a compassionate love. Some say compassionate. Love is compassionate. Love is Peter denying Christ three times. And when Christ came back, that when Christ was sitting down with his disciples, he actually approached Peter or spoke to Peter three times. I believe that Christ did that just to confirm the fact that, yes, you denied me three times, but I love you so much that I want to pull you back into the fold. And that's what God does. So God was talking to Peter. He says, Peter, Peter. And he said, Peter, do you love me? And actually the word for love there is agape. God said to Peter, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter said, you my boy. I phileo you. See the difference? God, Jesus comes back to him again. Peter, Peter, you agape me? What's up, Jesus? You know I phileo you. Second time. The third time, Jesus meets Peter exactly where he's at. And he says, Peter, Peter, do you phileo me? That's the awesome thing about God. He won't let you go. He won't let you loose. And guess what? He'll meet you exactly where you are. He says, Peter, do you phileo me? And Peter says, I phileo you. It's compassionate. True love is compassionate. And lastly, true love is healing. Someone say healing. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I don't like what's going on. But God loves me anyway. And because of God's love, it heals me. It tames that bitterness and that anger and that upset inside of me around. We have to be willing to do that right now and do the same thing. To say to someone, I love you so much that I'm willing to put my baggage to the side. And I'm willing to love you the same way that God loves me. Husbands, you have no choice. You have to. You have to. Singles, if you're dating someone and they don't line up to that, run! Run, you have options. Let me tell you, you're not tied down. But you make sure that people that you're in relationship with are exhibiting these things. Not just these 13, that they're forgiving, that they're redeeming, that they're compassionate, and that they're healing. In Psalms 103, verses 1 through 4, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget. Someone say forget. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your disease. That word heal actually means mends. Who redeems your life with destruction from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. True love heals and is willing to walk with you during that healing process. A family, about 4 or 5 months ago, they gave me the honor to do the celebration of life ceremony for their child, 2-year-old son who passed away. And it was hard going into that place. It was hard. You don't have any words to say. What can you say? What can you do? I can't tell them I understand it. I know what you're going through because I don't. And that's probably the worst thing to say. But what you can do is be with them in that moment. Let them know that you love them and that you care for them and that you're concerned for them. And that I'm going to be here with you if you need me. And sometimes I'm just going to check on you to be sure that you're okay. As you're going through this, as this healing process is going on, I'm right here with you. That's love. Because our lives get busy. We get so busy that we sometimes forget to either start caring for people or be concerned for people. God loves us. He so loved the world. He knew me and he still loved me. He knew you and still loved you. That's the true love that God's bringing with him. That's the virtue that I pray that you relax, that you actually remember this week. To say, how's my love? Do I got love? Or is it something that I'm still struggling with? That's fine. Because we can work on this together. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for this moment, Lord God, where we're able to come together and just to take in your word. God, I pray that you would just move in a mighty way, that you would change hearts, that we would be more amped to love and to receive your love. Lord God, I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, that you would move and that you would make a way so that they would know the true love that you give to all mankind. Lord God, I just pray that if today is their day, that they would know and they would be able to say what I call the ABCs, that they would acknowledge that they're a sinner, that they would believe in their heart, and that they would confess with their mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. I just thank you for this time together. Move as only you can move. And we'll declare this day and every day that we will give your name all glory, all honor, and all praise. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray. And the church of God says, amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap.